All right, Nehemiah chapter number 12. Nehemiah chapter 12 here this evening. Nehemiah 12. We're going to continue reading. Nehemiah chapter 11 we saw last week. There's a whole lot of names. How many of you are reading ahead in our study knowing that we're coming into the next chapter? Anyone do that throughout the week? A couple of you? All right, great. We get into Nehemiah chapter 12. You know what? Nehemiah 12 is a whole lot of what Nehemiah chapter number 11 is, a whole bunch of names. Whole bunch of names. If we're not careful, we'll go to books of the Bible like this in chapters where we'll read names and we'll say, what can I get out of a name? Can't pronounce them? And we'll skip over them, but there's something valuable. If there was nothing valuable in Nehemiah chapter number 12, then God wouldn't have put it in his word. But there's something in Nehemiah chapter 12 that we as Christians, we need to see and we need to get. But as I get to Nehemiah 12, I get through Nehemiah chapter 11 like we studied last week. We get to Nehemiah 12 and here we start again with a whole bunch of names. What I thought was very interesting, I mentioned this last week, each and every one of these men names that were mentioned here, these are people that just 11, 12 chapters ago, they were in a place of bondage. They were in a place where Jerusalem was falling apart. They were in a place of sin. They were in a place where God, his glory was not being seen. But now they find themselves at a place where a revival is taking place. You know, I really, truly believe that we can see revival taking place. I really do. I really believe that God can still work. This was a broken country, and God worked. This was a country without security. This was a country without walls. This was a country without gates. This is a country where the people were steeped in sin, and God still sent a revival to the people here, and God did something great in the hearts of the people, and they responded, and a great movement of God took place. You know what I see when I get to these chapters in Nehemiah? I realize this. If God isn't working, it's not him, it's us. We make excuses. We make excuses. We say the condition of the world or condition of our finances or condition of people the things that are going on, the condition of politics in our country. None of those things have anything to do with God sending revival upon his people and in this country. God can work in our lives. We have to understand that and believe that and respond accordingly to that. And we come to Nehemiah chapter number 27 Nehemiah chapter 12, verse number 27 is where we're going to pick up here. And we find this, the glory of God is seen once again in Jerusalem. There's rejoicing and activity in the place that once lay desolate. Which at a place where no one wanted to be, now there's something happening. Remember in chapter number 1, when Nehemiah heard the condition of Jerusalem, when he heard the condition of his homeland, it sent him to tears. It sent him to fasting in prayer. He came to a place where he said, something has to happen. It can't stay this way. God's not moving, and the people are in disarray, and the walls are torn down. And it moved him to a place where the king said to Nehemiah, what's wrong with you? And he responded and said, my homeland is just in a mess. I've got to do something about it. And now Nehemiah finds himself in a place of rejoicing, a place of activity. We've seen that Nehemiah led the people not only in a physical work, but more importantly, he led them in a restoration of a spiritual walk. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can think that our spiritual work is important, more important than our spiritual walk. How's your spiritual walk this evening? How's your relationship with God? And we're going to look at four things here this evening that I just titled it this, Come Prepared. Come Prepared. You are going to get out of this service tonight what you came prepared to get out of it. If we were to go to a baseball game and you knew you were going to sit in foul ball territory, you would bring a glove, wouldn't you? If you knew you were going to go, you'd probably bring money for a hot dog or a drink or something to eat. You are going to get out of tonight's service what you came ready to get. And I want to tell you this evening and show you this evening in chapter number 12 some things I think we need to come prepared that I see here as we study. They begin to dedicate the walls. In verse number 27, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness. Look with me here, both with thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. They came ready to dedicate. Now, 26 verses earlier, we'd read a bunch of names, and you say, what's the purpose of these names? All of these people that we find in verse number 1 through verse number 26, they all came ready to do something. Every one of these people came to this place, and they were going to dedicate these walls. They were going to dedicate this place, and they were going to do it through singing. They were going to do it with gladness. They were going to do it with thanksgiving. They were going to do it with cymbals. They were going to do it with harps. If you tell me that music is not important when it comes to worship, I would tell you, go back and look in the Bible and see how it really is important. They were going to come ready to worship God and dedicate what once was just desolate. They came here. They saw that God was restoring their walls. He was restoring their city. He was restoring the gates. And they came ready to dedicate. The first thing I want us to see is this. Their spirit was right when they came. Their spirit was right when they came. They came for the purpose to dedicate something to God. They came for the purpose to give something to God. They came for the purpose to sing to God. They came for the purpose to take what God had blessed them with and dedicate it back to Him and thank Him. How did you come this evening prepared? What did your spirit say when you came this evening? Did you come ready as these here in Nehemiah chapter 12 came? They came ready with a zeal and with a passion of thanksgiving. Did you come with a thankful spirit this evening, or did you come with a critical spirit this evening? Did you come ready to get something? Did you come ready to receive? On the way in this evening, you say, God, I've got to sense your presence. I've got to get something from you. I'm going to come to this place this evening. When it's time to sing, I'm going to sing and lift my voice up. When it's time to worship, I'm going to worship. When it's time to be thankful, I'm going to be thankful. My spirit is a spirit of thanksgiving, and it's right before you. You know, I believe it's sad for any Christian to walk aimlessly through life without joy. Every one of us in this room, if we are a child of God, we have something to be thankful for. You know, it's not, well, my life isn't the way I want it to be, and I don't have the things that I want in life. If you have life, you have something to be thankful for. You have something to praise God for. You have something to come and say, God, I'm going to dedicate this to you. My spirit is right before you. There's no peace, and some have no joy, no peace. They have nothing to be thankful for. And it's a sad day when a Christian gets to the place where all they see is something critical in life and stops seeing the blessings that God has for them. They said, the Bible says here in verse 27, they called the Levites to dedicate the land. You know, as I imagine them coming together to dedicate this land, you know what they were saying? God, this is yours. These walls are yours. These gates are yours. This city is yours. This land is yours. Everything here is yours, God, and we're giving it back to you. We handled it the way we wanted for so long, and we find all through the Nehemiah what they struggled with. We handled it, and we brought sin into it, and we handled it, and we brought other gods into it. We handled it, and we brought grudges into it. We handled it, and we brought hard feelings into it. We handled it, and we blamed our ancestors and our fathers fathers for the mistakes and the sin they made. But God, we want to start fresh. We want to start over. We don't want this to continue to be our land where we see it and we become critical. We want this to be dedicated to you so that we have a spirit of thanksgiving and honor and glory to give this back to an almighty God. We're putting the past behind us. We're putting the sin behind us. We're putting the hard feelings behind us, and we are moving forward, and this is now yours from this day forward. You know, there are some marriages that need to do that. There's Christian marriages that need to say, you know what, we're going to rededicate this marriage so that's honoring to God. You know, there was times where people would come to church and they came ready. They say, you know, things aren't right at home, and I know the only place that's going to get them fixed is when the Word of God is opened and my heart responds. But instead of responding when the Holy Spirit works, we look at someone else and we say, well, it's their fault. They're the reason why God's not working. They're the reason our home isn't a Christian home like it should be. They're the reason why there's turmoil in our family. Instead of saying, God, I'm coming prepared. My heart is coming right. I'm dedicating this to you. I'm not bringing hard feelings like we saw previously in Nehemiah. I'm not letting the devil get victories in my life like we saw the enemy did with Nehemiah earlier. Nehemiah, we're not letting other gods, we're not worshiping other things. We are putting you first in our family. We are putting you first in our home. We are putting you first in our marriage. We are putting you first in every relationship. We're putting you first in our church. You know, if we're not careful, even a church can become a place where everything and everybody else is first other than God. What did you come this evening in your spirit to receive? You know, I think in verse 27, when they're dedicating this wall, they're saying this: we're not going to carry anything from previous chapters forward. We're not carrying our hurt from our past. We're not carrying our burdens from the past. We're not carrying our sin from the past. We are leaving it there. We are asking for forgiveness. We're turning from it, and we are moving forward, and we're leaving it all behind. You know, past burdens only bring present sorrows if they're not dealt with properly. And by them dedicating this, they were saying, God, from this point forward, it is all about you and you only. So I see in verse number 27, their spirit was right when they came. Look with me in verse number 31. If we were to read, we'd read a whole lot of names going into verse number 31. Then we come here to verse 31. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall, appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the great wall toward the dung gate. Read a whole bunch of names that come through, and we come down to verse number 40. The Bible says this: so stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and a half of the rulers with me. Something interesting here. They came ready to give thanks. That's all they were going to do, is be thankful. All they did was come with the spirit of remembering what God had done for them. You know what's interesting as well? Here we find this. They came together, these two groups came together, and they came together in unity to thank God for what He's done. You know, church is a place, and gathering as God's people ought to be a place where our spirit is right. It ought to also be a place where our remembrance, or what we remember, is right. And we ought to remember this: when we come together, our heart ought to be at a place of thanksgiving and gratitude for what God has done in our life. Have you ever been critical? Has anybody in this room ever been critical? Couple people. I'm surprised. Really surprised. I thought there'd be more of you. That was critical, wasn't it? I guess probably the better question would be this: have you ever been critical today yet? You can either live your life being critical about everything in life and everybody in life, or you can spend your life thankful in remembering what God has done in your life. You know what they did? They chose on purpose to give God thanks. They came, they made a decision. When we stand on the wall, we are going to thank God. We are going to remember His blessings. We are going to remember His goodness. We are not going to talk about ourselves. We're not going to take credit for what's happening here. We are going to thank God for who He is. You know, I think that if we're not careful, Christian, we could live entire days, weeks, and maybe even months without ever thanking God for something. I'm not talking about, you know, at dinner time, God, thank you for the food and amen. And I'm talking about really a spirit of thanksgiving where our life is spent in such a way where God continues to hear us cry out thankfulness for who He is. When we come together, it ought to be where we just have everyone willing and wanting to stand. When our little Chloe, when we go to pray at night, for our dinner or wherever we're going to pray, and we say, who's going to pray tonight? She always raises her hand every single time. And she prays for everything except the food. Everything. If her teacher at Sunday school or Awana or someone she knows has a problem, she prays for that thing. We'll say, well, babe, that person, that was like 6 months old. Well, she's still going to pray. Sometimes we'll say after she's done praying and the food's, you know, cold, we'll say, babe, you forgot to pray for the food. And she'll want to pray again. No, we'll get it tomorrow night. Really, we'll be all right. Wouldn't it be something if all of us had that kind of spirit? You know, these are now standing on the wall that once lie in ruins. They're secure by the gates, and they were once in despair. The walls are now built. The gates are now secure. They remember that back in the beginning of Nehemiah, this place was desolate. These walls gave us no safety. These gates gave us no security. And now we're standing on these gates. We have something to be thankful for. Every single person in this room tonight, you have something to be thankful for. And you are going to choose whether you are going to be thankful or you're going to be critical. You're going to decide if you are going to give God glory today or if you're going to give yourself pity today. You're going to decide if life is about what God has done for you or if life is about you and only you. And they came to this place and they said, we're going to come with the right spirit and we're going to come remembering the right things. They didn't give themselves the credit either. I like here, they in these two verses we read, they begin to thank God for what He had done. You know, they didn't come together and say, you know, we did a good job on these walls, didn't we? You know, Brother Kynes, what we did, those gates were in disrepair and we put those gates back together, didn't we? Good job. Look what you did. You know, if we're not careful, we can look around and say, look what we've done together. Look what we've built together. Look what we've done together. And we get the focus off God, and we get the focus off others, and we put the focus on ourselves, and we start remembering how good we are, and we start remembering how good we've done, and we start putting life all about us, and it's not supposed to be about us. It's not supposed to be about how good we are. It's not about us taking credit for what God has done. Here they come together, and they didn't say, look what we've done. They said, look what God has done in our life. They didn't give themselves credit. I'd warn each and every one of us this evening, don't get too far down life's road without remembering it's because of God where you're at. There's always somebody smarter. There's always somebody that's better. Remember, it's God that has blessed you. Don't take credit for God's blessings. Don't get proud of who you are and what your success has been in life. Don't look in the mirror and say, look what I've done. Keep your eyes focused upon God and remember what He has done in your life. That's what I see their heart when they came here. They had a heart. Their motives were right. Their remembrance was right. Their spirit was right. Remember this, it's because of God's grace. It's because of God's grace. See, the wall is fine. The wall is stable. The wall is secure. There's great pride in the work. There's great security in the work. But they remembered it was by the hand of God, not something you could do in their own strength. Thirdly, I want you to see this evening in verse number 42, we read some more names. And there's just something I see here in verse 42 that I just think it's worth noting. Right in the middle of all these names, before we get to the end of the verse, it says this, and the singers sang loud. Do you see that there? When they came, they even saw that their voices were worth giving God all of. You know what I realized? If you sing loud, then you have no idea, and no one else knows, has any idea who sings bad. Because if you're singing loud, no one can hear you. You ever sing real loud? You can't hear the person next to you. They sang loud. That's not a mistake in the Bible. When you come to the house of God, do you come ready to sing? I remember when I was pastoring in Georgia, my son was sitting down in the couple rows from where I was standing on the platform, and I looked down one Sunday morning, and he was just standing there, and he was doing this while we were supposed to be singing. Oh, I wish I had those arms that would just reach out and twist his ear. I finally got his attention. I gave him that look, and he was like, and just started singing. He didn't even know what we were singing. He started singing anything. After church, I said, hey, bud, I'm going to take you home with me today. He said, no, Dad, I think I'm going to go with Mom. I said, no, you're going to go with me. He said, no, really, Mom needs some help. I said, no, you're going to go with me. You need some help. I said, son, when it's time to sing, let's sing. Let's lift our voices up to God. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. He shed his blood. He took your sin upon Calvary. He became sin for you. He's worth singing about. We can't stand there still when we're lifting our voices up to worship him. Singing is about worship. You say, I can't sing. You don't have to be able to sing. You can just lift your voice up loud. God wants to hear your voice. We don't come so somebody else hears us. We don't come to satisfy somebody else. We come to worship God. Every one of us ought to sing. You know what I find here in verse number 22? The Bible says a singer sang loud. The Bible goes on to tell us in verse 43, also that day offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God hath made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. You know, thirdly, I see here, their involvement was right. Their spirit was right, their remembrance was right, and their involvement was right. Involvement was right. They sang loud. They knew who they were singing to. They knew who delivered them. They knew who had given them peace. They were in bondage. They knew who freed them. I think this, a Christian that is truly saved, that realizes what they were saved from, they shouldn't have a problem lifting their voice up in praising an almighty God. Every person, in verse number 43, every person that came, they participated. The Bible says they sacrificed. Everyone that came, they rejoiced. Could you imagine, church, if everybody came to get involved? I'm planning a day in the fall. Don't tell anybody this, okay? I'm telling you a secret. I'm planning a day in the fall. It's going to be 100% Sunday. 100% Sunday. 100% of everyone's got to be there. 100% of everyone's got to sing. 100% of everyone's got to serve. 100% of everyone has to get in 100%. 100% of have to give. 100% have to rejoice. Could you imagine what church would look like if everybody that came, Brother Greg, came with the spirit of getting involved? Some people come, they're waiting, they're looking to get out. I need help, sorry. I need usher, sorry. I need somebody saying, sorry, what'd you come for? Because there's something that needs to be constructively criticized. And that's what I came for. Come to get involved. Come to say, I'm going to sing. Come to say, I'm going to look for a need. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to find something that God's doing, and I'm going to say it as loud as I can so he receives glory. Come to get involved. Here they came. There was great involvement. Their involvement was right. You know what I want you to see here? In verse number 43, the very end of it says this, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Think about that. It didn't say the singing was heard. It said the joy was heard. They sang loud. You know what happens? When they came with the right spirit, when they came remembering who God was, when they came with this place to get involved, everyone around Jerusalem heard, there's something happening in Jerusalem. The people are different. They're excited about what's going on. Their spirit's right. They're praising God. I remember Jerusalem was once a place where it was desolate. So Jerusalem was once a place where the walls were in ruin. Jerusalem was once a place where their spirit was quenched. But now all around knows that there's something happening in Jerusalem. Listen, Jeremiah or Nehemiah, back in Nehemiah chapter 1, he heard of what was happening in Jerusalem, but it wasn't their joy that he heard. Do you remember chapter number 1? He heard of their bondage. He heard of their despair. He heard of their affliction. He got no word about their joy. Now you know what's happening? When Jerusalem's being talked about, they're saying, there's joy once again. Where there was once despair, they're singing. Where there was once a lack of security, there's security. Where there was once no hope, there's hope. Where there was once no worship, there's worship. Where there was once nobody involved, they're involved. Where there was once no rejoicing, they're rejoicing. Something's different. They heard about their joy. Who hears about your joy this evening? Who wants to come be a part of what you're a part of because they see it all over you? My wife tells me I have this smirk. And if I'm thinking something, she thinks she has me figured out. She says, I can tell by the look on your face you're thinking something funny. And she's right every single time. Now, I always say, I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're talking about. But inside I'm thinking, how do you know that? She'll say, you're thinking something. Tell me what you're thinking. Every single time she got me pegged. If I'm upset about something, I'll try to hide it from her. She says, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Nothing's wrong. She's like, it's like you just ran over our cat. I said, I'd be smiling then. Just kidding. Just kidding. If there's any cat lovers, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. You know, she's got it figured out. She knows when I'm happy. She knows when I'm sad. I don't have to say a thing. You know how it is. Your joy is heard from those around. You see, the lost world ought to hear of our joy. They ought to say, you know, the life I'm living, it's something's wrong. I just see there's something different about what you do. The joy they heard. And I will be finished with this, and I'm done. Lastly, in verse number 45, the Bible says this, and both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of the purification according to the commandment of David and of Solomon his son. You know what I see here? Their methods were right. Their methods were right. They did as God told David and Solomon to do. They stayed true to the word of God. What got them in their place that they were in is they rejected the word of God. They thought that they could live life without God. They thought that they could have security without God. They thought they could have peace without God. They thought they could have hope without God. You know what they learned? They got to stay by the word of God. They did like God had commanded David and Solomon. You see, they didn't make worship about themselves any longer. They didn't make worship about their flesh any longer. They were determined to stay true to the word of God. They never wanted to get put back into their bondage. They didn't want to get put back into serving idols. They didn't want to bring back defeat and bondage in their life. They realized this: we've got to stay true to what God has already told us to do. You know, sometimes we get to a place where we think there's something more. A lot of times we just need to get back to doing what God said already told us to do. I'll say to somebody every so often, they'll come in, whether it be marriage issues or struggling with something in their life, and I'll say this: how's your prayer life and reading? No, I needed something other than that. I'm sorry, in my left drawer there's some magic potion. That's what you wanted. I'm sorry, I'll pull that out. You didn't tell me that. We wanted something different. We've got to get back to the Word of God. We've got to get back to worshiping the way He said to worship. We got to get back to making the priorities of His Word the priorities in our life once again. We got to make sure that we get the priorities in worshiping back the way He desires for worship. If we all came to the house of God ready to worship God, we wouldn't see a lot of the things that we don't even need to see. Do we leave talking about what God had done in our life, or do we leave talking about what somebody else saw or said? We ought to get back to worshiping, get back to the way God said to do it, get back to the tried and true, the Word of God. They came to the place, they said, we're going to go and worship. We're going to do what God commanded David to do and what God commanded Solomon to do. We're tired of doing it our way. We're trying to do it, the way that these other gods have come in and the other people have brought gods. We're putting all that behind us and we're going back to the right way to worship God. You see, when they came to chapter number 12, they determined to come with the right spirit. They determined to come with the right remembrance. They determined to come with the right involvement. And they determined to come with the right method. Is that what you came tonight with? How's your spirit? Who are you mad at? Is that worth you losing what God has for you? What are you critical about? Is that worth losing God's blessings? Come with the right spirit. Come with the right remembrance. Are you taking anything that belongs to God? Are you taking any of His glory? Are you taking any of His praise? Are you taking anything, any credit for anything He has done? How is your remembrance? Are you thankful? How's your involvement? If you weren't here, what would go undone? And if you say nothing, then you don't have the right involvement in the house of God. So, no, that's your job, Pastor. You're the pastor. And you're a child of God. And every single one of us ought to have something that we're doing that gives God glory, that gives Him honor, that gives Him praise. And there ought to be a giant hole if you're not doing what God has placed you here to do. How's your involvement? And do you have the right method? Is life about you, or is it about God?